All right, come on in and grab a seat at the Reality Roundtable.
I'm Max.
And I'm the big guy.
And we are the Reality Rascals.
All right, I want to start by saying I pretty much always feel like the finale is a bit of a letdown. There isn't a ton that happens, really, once the final three are determined. And I despise those flashback sequences. It's just total nonsense, in my opinion. And
I used to like the final three walk, and they see the burned out torches, and they'd be like, oh, so-and-so, and then they do the flashback. They got rid of it for 10 years or so, and then they were just talking about the people in the jury. They didn't really walk anywhere, but it was good. And they had a little interview toward the end with the people talking about who they might vote for, so I actually liked it. It's just like more of a refresher of who was out and who they're thinking of voting for or whatever.
So I did think that this season finale was better than most in the past. I get that out of the way.
Totally agree.
So like Max predicted, the episode started with the reveal that Dee had not told Austin, which I think was a huge feather in her cap. The fact that she didn't tell him was a huge feather in her cap. I like that they didn't try to trick us by showing us after the fact that she told Austin and he decided, you know, not to tell Drew or something like that, because I think that would have taken away a little bit from the drama that unfolded, and it would have made him not telling Drew less important if we hadn't seen it in real time. In this case, if they had tried to work something out, I wouldn't have wanted that suspense last episode before I knew the outcome. So, you know, I think it was important that they showed us in real time what happened, and they did that. After that, the episode starts with everyone sitting on the beach, and they see a box with some instructions and a clue to get an advantage.
It was weird. They were just like sitting around. All of a sudden, they're like, "Ooh, a box!" Staring at like 20 yards down the beach. Something different. I haven't seen that before. Yeah, we've seen people run into, you know, the jungle looking for idols toward the end there, but this was something different. You know, counting the lobsters, counting the bamboo sticks, and the coconuts.
I agree. It was something new. It was exciting. Just like you said, just something new, something unexpected.
I also like that Jake was trying to keep track of the numbers when he kept saying it was Gabler and JT.
Yeah, it was JT, Denise, and Gabler. Jake ends up winning. We discussed last week what Jake needed to do to have a shot at winning. We said he needed to get out either Austin, Dee, or Julie. We said that he needed to win the immunity so he could pick the final three, and he had to win fire. We hadn't thought about a possible advantage challenge, and so he took the first step in attempting to do the impossible by winning, and that is winning the advantage challenge. But then the real challenge began, and he had two huge Jacobs, I'll call them. I like how I used his name as a verb or an adjective. I'm not really sure which one, but I created a word to describe a screw-up by using his name.
That was impressive.
So he forgot to bring his key with him to the top of the tower, and then he didn't realize there was a puzzle piece not with all of his other puzzle pieces, and therefore he couldn't figure out the puzzle because he was missing a piece.
Funny part about that, Jeff's probably just staring at it the whole time, obviously, because he comes over afterwards and says, "Hey, Jake, let me point this out for you."
Yeah, it was killing him. It was killing him.
And then he throws the block, he kicks the thing over.
It was terrible to watch and see, especially if you identified that there was a block missing. But what really summed up Jake's entire game was his screw-ups. So Austin won. He got to take one person to enjoy a meal, and he decided to take Jake, which I think was pretty smart. He explained why. Austin knew he would spill his guts, and Jake didn't disappoint.
Jake didn't get to go on many reward challenges. So I think he said Jake was never at Sanctuary. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, I think that's what he said too, yeah. So Jake's next screw-up was telling everyone about his idol. But to quote Lee Corso, "Not so fast, my friend." He apparently spread the information around so he could use the idol to save Katori and get rid of Dee, but it definitely didn't seem like that was his plan initially. It just seemed like he couldn't keep his mouth shut. It was hard to watch because you're like, this guy, everything he does is a mistake. Every move he makes is a screw-up. And if this was a plan, it was probably his best plan he had so far. It was a genius move. You didn't think that he was even capable of such a move. It wasn't as amazing as it first seemed.
I just don't understand. If you're going to go through all this trouble to find it at this stage of the game, and you have it, nobody knows about it, final five, why are you telling anybody? Like, what are you doing, man?
I think his whole plan was to make sure that they did not try to get him out so that he figured he was safe. I mean, it had to be what his plan was. And so he was able to then use it on Katora. But Katora made him swear on his Nana or Gammy or whatever he calls her. And she didn't even trust him enough to follow through with the plan that they concocted and voted for Julie. And then she didn't get enough votes to have been sent home anyway. So he used the idol unnecessarily on her. Yeah. It was kind of like a situation where it was an insurance. He didn't need it anyway. He didn't need it for himself because of the plan that he concocted. He didn't need it on Ghatorra because she was never the real target. So instead of Dee going home, which would have probably ensured that Austin won, we get Julie gone, which they all said they didn't really want to sit with her in the first place. But other than her social game, I'm not sure what she did to win. You know, in the beginning, early on, she had a chance to win a couple of immunity early on, but then I feel like her age kind of caught up with her, which we discussed earlier in the season, and she just was unable to compete at the end. And so really her social game was her only strength. Could have been a feather in her cap later on if she had an opportunity to explain that, but I feel like she really needed to win something in order to have a chance at the end.
Yeah, I agree. They all said that she was Mama J, you know, everybody loved her on the jury. They were all afraid to sit next to her because she would have talked to, you know, a big game of like exactly what you just said about going to the end with Bruce. But yeah, she didn't really win anything. Ghatorra had a chance. She did talk, you know, for 10 minutes beforehand. Got to get Dee out. Got to break these guys up. I can't believe they lasted this long when they realized that they're like falling in love or whatever they're doing. And then she says, we got to get him out. And then she vote against it. Best thing after that was, whoa, you made me vote on my Nana.
Like, he was so mad.
He was so mad. It was great. Jake was hysterical. Good, great guy. A funny guy. If they do a return, you know, Survivor, he's definitely going
to
be back.
He had a good plan to try to drag Ghatorra along with him. And it could have worked had he gotten to the final three and then kind of picked who he wanted. But he needed another person there, allowing Dee and Austin and ultimately Julie, even though she went home at that point. But even Julie, allowing those three to make it that far when they had an opportunity to get rid of some of them earlier, if they just woke up and realized that they had more power than they really had. He wasn't able to secure people in the final three that he could actually beat. You know, he wasn't beating Julie. He wasn't beating Dee. He wasn't beating Austin, no matter what. So it was just too little too late. But I do have to give him way more credit than I thought. You know, he came really close to pulling off what would have been an amazing closeout or finish to the season. It was amazing, you know, until it wasn't. Ghatorra and Jake were talking, and you really saw something that made me really mad. And that was, while trying to decide how to proceed after the challenge, Ghatorra and Jake were discussing some various scenarios. And I really saw something that made me really very angry. And that was that Ghatorra was putting together the pieces of what Jake needed to do to secure his place in the final three and help her. And she laid out perfectly why Dee was the one that had to go and what to do with the idol so that she could go home, so that she was the one that had to go home, and how it didn't really need to be used at all. If only she had not been so focused on Bruce, she really could have been a strong player and an entertaining player, because you saw that she had her finger on the pulse of what was taking place here, and she was able to lay out exactly what needed to take place, what needed to happen, and predicted what was going to happen. But up to this point, had been so singularly focused on Bruce, she wasn't able to see clearly. And that really made me angry because, you know, we were robbed of seeing someone that could have been a very strong player. During the final immunity challenge, the only thing worth note was Jake and Dee were neck and neck, and then Jake knocked over his stack of cups, providing Dee with a very easy win. But what was really great was Jake getting upset, breaking whatever you want to call it, the apparatus. And then in the finale, when they were discussing taking what was took place and what they did, et cetera, he tried to say that he broke it because he was trying so hard. And when it happened, he was clearly upset. Jeff was clearly upset that he broke it and kept telling him, you're going to break it. I thought that was something we've never seen in Survivor. The only other time when somebody had like a long pole and they had to put those discs on and they smashed it. But we've never seen that kind of raw emotion.
What Jake was doing, he obviously, when he watched the replay, he was really stomping on it because he was just pissed off that he dropped whatever he had, 15 on there, 14, whatever he had on there, and just made it easy for Dee. But it was a good challenge. And then he apologized how many times? Sorry, Jeff. You know, sorry about the challenge, Jeff. And then I think he even said it again at the final tribal. I think he said it a third time.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing that he was able to try to twist that into a positive, because so many times we say at the end of these, you know, the person in the finale or the final, they didn't do a good job of pleading their case. They didn't explain what they did. They forgot to say this. They forgot to say when they did that. And this was an instance where this guy pulled something that was, to us, a big moment because we just seen it. And it was something unusual. And he tried to turn it into a positive for himself, which we don't often see. And I think that was part of maybe his everyday life sliding into the game, where he's a lawyer and he tries to kind of twist the truth into what he wants it to be. But that was something that we don't often see in Survivor either. I love the challenge as well. It was so much better than that rolling ball thing. where they just stand there and wait for the balls to drop, and then they have to go faster and faster.
Yeah,
so many opportunities here for come from behind wins and opportunities that you don't necessarily see, especially with the way they can edit it. So I hope that this is something that becomes the norm for a little while, or at least they rotate between this and that rolling ball thing, because the ball challenge compared to this, there's no comparison. This is infinitely better.
Oh, yeah, and that apparatus thing they had to walk with, it was uneven or wobbly than most.
And on a windy day, you can imagine that thing causing a lot of havoc as well.
Yeah, right.
So Jake makes it to the final three. He asked to make fire, like we said, and he had to win pretty much everything if he was going to get some votes. So he was trying to do everything possible. He understood what was necessary for him to have any kind of shot, to get any votes. And so he was just doing what he could, and I thought that was pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, he basically begged her. Because he's like, he started crying. I want to do it for me. If I don't win, whatever, I want to do it. I got to prove something, which was right. He had no choice, I thought.
Yeah, he'd pretty much done nothing. And he did win the fire, to his credit. It was pretty impressive, especially because if you've been paying attention, you had to think there was a better chance he would catch the set on fire or light his hair on fire or something, burn it to the ground, than he would actually win. But yeah, so he did win the fire, which was impressive. It made himself proud. He made himself proud, and he got 0 votes in the end for it and didn't deserve any.
No, I believe second fastest fire-making one ever.
So my wife was telling me that when the show first started, and I don't remember the exact timeline, but when the show first started, they just said, you're going to make fire. And then they're like, well, you know, it's not really fair. We have to give them some materials. And then they started giving them materials, and people got better at it. And then ultimately what they did was they gave them the entire fire-making kit. And so this is the last season where they will get the entire fire making kit. In the future, going forward, it'll go back to the way it was in the beginning, where they say you're going to make fire and you just have to use whatever materials you have around. So that's why they were able to make it so quickly. I forget who it was, but it was a woman who had the previous fastest time, and that was because she was the first or second one to get the fire making kit. They did it for a couple of seasons, and it'll no longer be something they do.
I think the wife was listening to the Jeff's podcast secretly, because that's exactly what they said.
Okay.
That was like word for word what Jeff said.
Instead of watching ours.
Yeah, heard it here, folks. The wife of the big guy is secretly listening to Jeff's podcast verbatim. I was going to bring that up, but I don't have to now.
Yeah, a good one by me. Usually I don't come up with that kind of stuff. So D's resumes, you know, D wins, obviously, we know that.
I was hoping for, you know, 4-4. I thought it was going there at one point. At least it's the closest vote that we've had in the new era. 5-3, but I was hoping it would go to 4-4, then Jake would have to decide the winner. We said this for weeks. I'll take the 5-3 over 8-0 or 7-1. You know, we know Jake got nothing. The third person never gets anything, so I don't even know why you bother.
I thought at 3-3 it was going to go, one vote would go to Jake, and then it would be 4-3-1. But I kept saying to myself, there's no way Jake's going to get any votes. But then when it got to 3-3, I'm like, oh, well, they're setting this up so that Jake gets one, and then it's a one vote win. But that wasn't the case. Instead, what they did was they set it up for the tie, like you wanted, right, which was cool. Yeah. At 4-3, you're like, okay, maybe it goes to Austin.
I think I texted during the Chapo during the thing. I thought 4-3-1. I thought one person would vote for Jake just because they felt bad for him. Obviously, not the case, but we'll take the close vote finally for once.
Yeah, you could have easily seen one or two votes, but you could have seen one vote going to Jake. You could have thought of someone saying, okay, well, you know, Jake was supposed to be out since the merge and he never got out. And so for him to have lasted that long is, I'm so mad at Austin and D for screwing me, where it's a revenge vote. You never know what's going to happen when someone votes. All right. So D's resume, I just want to run through it quickly. She had 3 immunity challenges that she won. She flipped the vote to save Julie, which I thought was great. She lied to Austin about telling her, came up with a plan for Julie to use her idol so that D could vote for her, for Julie to go home, and then keep up this facade with everyone, which was pretty cool because you assumed that D and Austin, because they were, I'll say, infatuated with each other, for lack of a better term, that they weren't going to be able to trick each other and play against. And he wasn't. He was not able to kind of fool her. He was not able to vote her out. He was not able to go against her. But D was. And I think that's the difference. And so ultimately, she was able to keep up that facade and didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell Austin about Drew, which is ultimately what got him out and what won her the game, I think.
The fact that she told the jury and Austin right at the end there, that when she stopped everybody and said, yeah, I got to tell you something. And then I did lie to you. And he was like, oh, I think that definitely got her the win. I think she was winning anyway, but I think that avoided the tie because I think somebody probably was maybe leaning toward Austin, and they heard that and said, oh, wait, I got to vote D.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That was a huge moment. It was one of those things where you could see that that he was so shocked by it, and they didn't show the jury because his reaction was so amazing. Like, he was so shocked and surprised that they didn't show the jury. But that had to be a moment, like you said, where people's votes switched. Maybe one, maybe two, but definitely people's minds were, if they weren't made up at that moment, they were like solidly in the D camp after that moment. You know, it was still surprising. I was still waiting for them to say, well, we knew, or I thought it, or I had somebody told me. There was none of that. It was a really great deception. It was a good deception if they weren't infatuated with each other. The fact that they were and they spent so much time together and considered each other their number ones, the fact that she didn't tell him was even a bigger move.
Yeah, and there we go. And then it just shows you got to keep a secret from somebody.
You've been saying that forever. That is so true.
And she kept it for the last, 3 weeks?
You know, reflecting back on it, and I think that close vote shows us what a good season it was. I think that there were definitely some opportunities for blindsides that didn't take place.
Yeah, I agree.
And there were opportunities for the whole power we talked about during the season, for the whole power balance, if you want to call it that, of the whole power to shift to the floaters, to the hanger-ons, to the Emily, Jake, Bruce group. And they just weren't able to do that. They weren't able to grab control of it because they were leaderless. There was no one person or people that said, hey, this group, 4-4 group, is in control of things. And I don't know why no one identified them as the ones running the whole thing, but they just did a great job of making everyone feel like they were, you know, the fifth Beatle and that they were going to be a part of it. And so therefore they really didn't have to worry until they turned on each other. It was pretty an amazing run considering the fact that they were together since the merge and controlled it, even though they were in the minority for the entire time.
No, I agree. As far as season wise, best season of the new era by far. I, even though my picks were horrendous and I was out early in every pool we did, the last two seasons I liked, but this one by far was the best. No one really had to hate on this season. I can see a lot of people returning from this season.
I think mostly because, in my opinion anyways, mostly because they were good players that didn't really start playing the game until later on. And they really, it took them a while to kind of come into their own and understand what it took to play the game. Yeah. And for whatever reason, they just were not able to get it going fast enough to actually do anything. But then when they started to make some moves, you were like, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you're right. Emily should have went out for his episode or two, and then Jake started to get into his groove.
Another thing that I really loved about this season was the challenges. They did a really amazing job, in my opinion, yeah, of introducing some new challenges, some twists on old challenges, yeah, and it kept it really fresh. Not one time did I watch one of those immunity challenges and say, this is boring, I want to just fast forward it to the end. And in previous seasons, I literally would fast forward it and people, my wife, whomever I was watching with, would say, what are you doing? Put it back. Because I just couldn't stand watching people sit there doing nothing. And they did an awesome job this season of not doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the challenges were great. Like you said, little spins on here, on some here and there. You know, the barrel one they never did before. You know, the last one they just did. I don't know. I don't think this is a top tenner, but it's definitely,
like you said, the best of the new era.
Fun season. Looking forward to season 46. They already put the list of cast people out. I believe the next season begins February, I want to say 21st, 22nd, somewhere around there, after the Super Bowl. So along with Amazing Race. So back to back going again. For all those listening, we'll get the Amazing Race back up there.
And we're gonna have a website too. So anyone that wants to follow along,
ratings were so good, we had to expand.
Like season 45 is a wrap. That does it for the Reality Roundtable.
I'm Mags,
and I'm the big guy, and we're out of here.
Peace out. See you in February.